Let me extend a warm welcome, everyone here in Chanhassen, many people at Bush Lake, West Tonka, all of you watching online, and this is probably unsurprising to you, but this service is busier than the previous one, as we have entered daylight savings. So I hope everyone got a good night's sleep and bright and early here for church. The first time our family experienced daylight savings was at church. Some of you know our story. We came from South Africa and came to Minneapolis, and we would take the bus to church early on, before we had a car. And this was the one where we fall back, not when we spring forward. But I remember the bus pulled up to the church, and we walked out, and nobody was there. And we're like, I think it's Sunday still. I think we're on the right day. And then maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, the pastor's car kind of pulls up, because, the pastor is usually one of the first ones to church. And he rolls down his window, and he goes, oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you. We do this thing here where we just change the time from, one day to the next day. It's a different time. And we said, you could just change the time just like that. Yep, called daylight savings. So my first experience with daylight savings was at church. They always do it from a Saturday to a Sunday. And it's always nice to have a second service because all of you are here well-rested, I'm sure, as we jump into the fourth week of our Relationship Tool Belt series. This is the halfway point, and the kind of the heart behind this series is this idea that we have relationships all around us in our life, and I think the heart for all of us, the hope for all of us, is that those relationships are thriving, and they're healthy, and they honor God, and we can equip ourselves with some tools in our tool belt that can be part of how God stewards and develops and nurtures those relationships. And so at the beginning of this series, a few weeks ago, I asked all of us to maybe take a snapshot of where we think our relationships are right now, what our satisfaction level might be. And now that we're at the halfway point, I think it's maybe a good time for us to check in. May also give some of you who are maybe newer to our church since this series launched to also maybe evaluate. How are you feeling about the relationships that are around you? So here's the question. All in all, how satisfied are you with your relationships? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Scale of 1 to 5. Not at all satisfied, not very, somewhat, very satisfied, or completely satisfied. And my hope is over the last few weeks that you've seen a shift in your number. Maybe you were a 2, and now you're a 2.5, and you're just moving along toward greater satisfaction. Maybe you are a 5, and what this series is helping you see is this is the reason why. Maybe it's giving you a framework or some language to help identify why you've had such joy and health in your relationships. And really, no matter where you might be, I really do pray that you're experiencing God, that you're inviting God into your relationship, into your own formation, your own becoming, because I think we all know this. Maybe one of the first steps of any relationship growth begins with us looking inward and asking God to maybe reveal some things in us that maybe contribute to some of the hardship or difficulty that we may face in the relationships that we have. But eventually you will look outward. And you will notice as you do that relationships are all around you. In fact, maybe just to give you an image for today, relationships surround you. I feel that every day. I'm surrounded by 4 children, 9 years of age and under. And you can just feel it when I walk through the door. I am surrounded by this great bundle of joy that we call kids. And as I, kind of reflect on that feeling and that image, I realize, and you may kind of resonate with this, that relationships don't just surround us, they shape us. In fact, it says in the book of Proverbs, which is a collection of divinely inspired sayings, this is Proverbs 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Relationships have a shaping effect, so much so that the wisdom of the Bible says that relationships are part of our becoming, that if we surround ourselves with the wise, we will become wise. But what if we subbed out the word wise would that ancient saying maybe still apply if it said, walk with the generous and become generous? Walk with the critical and become critical? Walk with the joy-filled and become joy-filled? Yeah, as I think about my own life, I kind of see the truth of this saying playing out. I'm even realizing the sound of my voice changes when I'm with certain people. Now, again, a reason for that, being an immigrant from South Africa, as a young boy, I used to have this sophisticated South African accent. And every time I travel back to my home country, my childhood accent starts to show up. And I know this because my wife points it out to me. Why are you talking like that? And she is experiencing firsthand my becoming, or maybe better, my re-becoming, as I start to converse with my relatives, and then my accent morphs. And I'm experiencing kind of a unique dimension of our human wiring, and scientists are calling this the phenomenon of social contagion. It's this idea that we more so catch behaviors or emotions or even accents from the people around us. And recent neuroscience has kind of discovered that the reason for this is because we have something in our brains called mirror neurons, which are cells that motivate us to even at times unconsciously mimic others. It's why spending time with certain people, like me when I'm with my relatives in South Africa, that it starts to influence our thoughts and our behaviors and our actions and even our voices. And then here's maybe where it starts to get really fascinating. There's another body of research that's called network science. And it's found that the shaping effect happens not just with people that we have direct relationship with, but even people we have indirect relationship with. There was a 32-year research project. It was published in the National Institutes of Health. And it studied over 12,000 individuals. And it found this: if you have a friend of a friend who starts exercising or eating healthier, you are statistically more likely to make similar choices. Again, even if you don't directly know the other person. It's what they're calling the ripple effect of relationships. Now, you may be hearing that as I was reading it for the first time, and it kind of feels a little overwhelming. Because I think we all like to believe we're independent beings here. You know, like we're not that influenced by all the things that are happening around us, but I don't know. I don't think we can really underestimate how deeply we're being shaped by the relationships that are in our lives. And if relationships can have that kind of an influence, if our brains and if the social networks that we're a part of are kind of wired for these ripples of becoming, then I think it might be pretty wise for us to invite God into our relationships, to realize that the wisdom of the Bible isn't just a keen insight, that it's an invitation to say, God, you need to be with me as I acknowledge that I have relationships that are all around me, that are shaping me, and when I also acknowledge that some of the relationships that are there, I didn't choose for those relationships to be there. Yeah, I'm kind of speaking about our families of origin, those very first relationships that shape our values and our habits and our perspectives. Some of those we kind of embrace, and some of that we resist. Some of it we don't even know it's in us. And if you've done any therapy or counseling in your life, you kind of know that some of the first questions that are asked is, let's go back to the beginning and how much that's formed us. If you're in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship, you kind of know how much your earliest years of your becoming kind of get, again, thrown into the center stage, and the mirror starts to get held up as you maybe have a disagreement or a misexpectation. And if you trace the thread back, it's like, oh yeah, that's because of how I grew up. You know, I kind of see that at play in my marriage. I'm kind of a go-with-the-flow person. You know, I really like to change things up now and again. Annie, on the other hand, you know, she's like, we kind of need a plan here, you know, and let's have some intentionality in what we're doing. And as I reflect on maybe where those threads start, it's like, yeah, I grew up as an immigrant. I kind of know all too well the experience of starting fresh, taking things as they come, adapting in new situations. And Annie You know, her and her family, they had five young kids, all of them born within 5.5 years. And no twins in that either. And so if that's your family, you need a plan. You know, every day you need, what are we doing today? Otherwise, you're going to be taken over pretty quickly. And those are two very different becomings, two very different families of origin. And that family which surrounds us shapes us. You know, the Apostle Paul speaks to this power of our families of origin when he encourages his protege, Timothy. And he writes about how Timothy's family, specifically his grandmother and his mother, were influential, how they shaped who he became. We can read about it here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul writes, I am reminded of your, Timothy's, sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Generational impact, that's a real thing. And some of you have been given the gift of being raised in families that nurtured you in some beautiful, wonderful ways, just like Timothy. And if families can have that kind of a generational impact, does that mean that families can also lead to generational brokenness too? You know, there's a lot of modern research that appears to suggest, yeah, that can be the case. Take trauma, for example. Studies have shown that the experiences of deep trauma, like war or abuse or addiction, that it actually can alter how the genes express themselves in an individual, which then get passed down to their children. And those children typically have genetic responses that are heightened when stress comes, and they might even have predisposition to have similar struggles later in life. Or some of you probably know about the studies around alcoholism, how the children of alcoholics are 4 times more likely to fall into alcoholism themselves, and not just because of the genetic predisposition, but also because of the patterns that are seen and modeled in the home, how to deal with stress, so how to cope when hard things happen, and we carry those things with us. And yet, while cycles of brokenness may be more likely in certain family systems, I just feel like I need to say this. The brokenness is not who you are. I don't know who specifically may need to hear this, that relationships do have this influential effect on us. There's no doubt there, but hear me, they do not have a definitive effect on anybody. Which means that while relationships do shape us, they don't define us. We're defined by God. In fact, the Apostle John writes this in 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And so you are. In other words, none of us are prisoners of the past. We are children of God. That is who we are. We aren't defined by our habits or our upbringings or our vices or our brokenness. We are unmerited recipients of love, of God's love. A love which says to you and to me, we are beloved. And so while the influences of our upbringing are real, we should recognize that, we aren't bound to repeat the mistakes of those who came before us. But that does take some intentionality. It requires intentionality for us to kind of mine the depths of our own becoming and realize why do we do some of the things that we do? It requires the intentionality for us to consider maybe some wise boundaries or some new habits that we should introduce so that we can go in a different direction. It requires the intentionality to be mindful of those who surround us. Because again, relationships don't just surround us. They shape us. And while we can't always control the families that we grew up in, we can actively choose the people that surround us today. People who can build us up, who can encourage us, who can help us embrace the redemptive work that God is doing. And so the question is, who's surrounding you? The American entrepreneur Jim Rohn, he famously said this, "You are the average of the five people closest to you, which isn't an exact science by any means at all, but it's a provocative and a pretty relatable statement, an observation that really invites us to consider, who are the relationships that are closest to me? Maybe it helps us take an inventory of sorts to decide and to wonder, who is shaping me today? And in order to kind of answer that question or to go through that evaluation, I want to offer you another tool for your tool belt as you consider the relationships that are shaping you. And that tool is a circle. Well, it's going to be a series of circles in just a few moments here. And I see these relational circles in the life of Jesus. And he had varying contours of relationships in his life, relationships that surrounded him. And I think these circles are going to give us a way to kind of understand and consider, what are the relationships that are around me today? And so let's kind of build this out. On the outermost ring, we'll see that Jesus had relationships with crowds of people, what I'm calling here casual relationships. So these were the people that Jesus had impact on, particularly through his teaching and through his ministry. It says this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 and 19. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people as well. And they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. These crowds who followed Jesus, they listened to him. They were influenced by him. They were healed by him, but they didn't really know Jesus personally. In our world today, these casual relationships may be best described as the people we follow on social media. And while those casual relationships may seem somewhat distant, they still have the power to shape us. In fact, I think of the people I follow on social media and how certain posts or pictures or comments or reactions, even for people I don't talk to anymore, how it shapes my feelings. It shapes my emotions. I can sometimes have a good day or a not so good day based on how those casual relationships start to inform my perspective. Now, as we kind of build this out, we move closer in, we're going to see that Jesus also had more connected relationships. It says in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the Lord Jesus appointed 72 other disciples and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. These 72 disciples were people that Jesus kind of made himself available to, and they reciprocated by partnering with him in the ministry that he invited them into. They were connected in relationship, in mission, in purpose, in shared experiences together. They knew each other's names. And so in our lives today, these connected relationships are the people that we know their names. And they're in our neighborhoods or in our workplaces, in church, in our social clubs. And we probably don't know all the details of each other's lives, but these are the people that we really will make ourselves available to. If there's a crisis, if there's an opportunity, if there's a need, these are people that we'd be willing to reach out to and offer support and care. And then within those 72, as we keep building this out, Jesus then had 12 disciples, a group of committed relationships, where they shared with Jesus in more than just ministry. They shared life together. It says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 13. When morning came, Jesus called more disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. And so again, these weren't just ministry partners. These were the friends of Jesus. They traveled together. They ate together. They learned together. They had honest conversation with one another. They got below the line in their communication. And in our lives today, I think similarly, these would be the people that we kind of do our lives with. These are the people that know our struggles and our hopes and our values and our dreams, and you know theirs. These would be the people maybe who are in your small groups or maybe a key group of family members. Maybe they're close friends or neighbors that you have in your life. And then that comes to the most inner circle, the core relationships. Because even within those 12 disciples for Jesus, he had an inner three, Peter, James, and John. And they were the ones that Jesus led into the deepest and most vulnerable moments of his life. It says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. These three were with him at his transfiguration, where he kind of revealed himself as God. They were with him in the garden when he was sweating blood in agony of what was about to happen to him. These were the three that witnessed Jesus in his greatest moments of glory and his toughest moments of suffering. That they were his soul friends. They were able to see the depths of who he was. And for us today, those that sit in the core are the people that we allow to see the depths of who we are. The people who stand with us in our most defining moments. And that could be a spouse, could be a parent, could be a sibling, could be a lifelong friend. These are the people who share the deepest parts of our thoughts, of our struggles, and of our hopes. And I mean, when you think about it, how much more human does it get than that? And it's why I, and maybe it's why so many of you, are drawn to the person of Jesus, because his life, like my life, like your life, it's surrounded by relationships. Relationships that shape us. Relationships that can also sting us. You know, Jesus felt that sting too, being betrayed by Judas, one of the 12 people closest to him, which speaks to, you know, to kind of the risk of being in any relationship. They're all going to shape us. Some of them could sting us, but they all surround us too. And so as you kind of take this in, these circles of relationship, I may want to invite you to consider what do your circles look like right now? Or maybe to put the faith element to it, what might God be saying to you about the circles that surround you? You know, are there some casual relationships that are shaping you more than you realize? Again, I do kind of get convicted about this when I think about the people I follow on social media and how they have a disproportionate impact on how I feel, both positively and not so positively. Or maybe there's some people in your life that you're saying, that's a connected relationship, but really I wish they were more present in my life. You know, one of my closest friends from junior high school all the way through my young adult years was someone who's, as I evaluate my relationships, it's in a connected circle, whereas one time it was at the core. And I'm kind of realizing in that the reality is that our relationships kind of drift. And there are people that we wish were closer to us. And over time we realize, wow, it's different. As some of you, as I say that, if you're honest, you're realizing that your marriage might be drifting into a circle that's more connected than maybe commitment or core to your life. And can I encourage you? I'm encouraging kind of myself when I think about this with my friend who's drifted to another layer of connection, that there is always hope for our relationships. There truly is. There is a God who desires, truly desires, for us to be whole and to flourish, to be surrounded by the people who matter to us most, to have life. In fact, Jesus says this in John 10:10. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness, all its fullness. And when I read that, I kind of hear Jesus saying, I want your circles to be full, that you can have people in your life who sit at the core. Some of you, when I talked about what it would mean or feel like to have a core relationship, it may just bring up, do I have that? Part of our humanness is to be able to open up our soul to another. And I think God truly wants us to be people who have core relationships in our lives and then to be surrounded by God-honoring people. Can I just say this? If you're in a marriage relationship right now or a dating relationship, the point of a marriage or a dating relationship is not to make your whole relational sphere one big core. I think it's really important. I think it's really wise. I think it's helpful to create margin and space and blessing to be able to cultivate layers of relationship around us. Because that's part of our becoming, to nurture friendships and to pursue deep connection with others. And so no matter what your circles may look like or feel like today, I want you to remember that we are always becoming. And when you walk with hope-filled people, you will become a hope-filled person. And I want you to know that there is hope for your relationships. There is hope that God will be your side, to be your helper, and giving you the gift of friendship. Because this is amazing. God himself calls us his friends. Look what Jesus says here later on in the Gospel of John, John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. The closest, deepest relationship you could ever have, truly, the relationship that maybe sits at the bullseye of all of our circles, is a relationship with God. A relationship that's made so real through the person of Jesus Christ, the one who calls us friend. Friend. And as a friend of the living God, he's given us a purpose. We take God's presence wherever we go, which means if the truth is that relationships shape us, then the truth also is we shape others. Your presence in someone's life is part of their becoming, whether you realize it or not. And so the way you show up in your marriage or in your friendships or in your neighborhood or in your workplace, it matters. You're shaping people around you. Your life can have another person's mirror neurons fire in a way where they're open to God. You know, network science says you don't even have to be directly connected to somebody. You could be in someone's casual or outer ring, and you're still going to make a difference in their lives. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you see? God is inviting you to shape the circles of the people around you for his honor and for his glory. The effect goes both ways. We are no doubt shaped by the people surrounding us, our families of origin, the casual, the connected, the committed, the core relationships. They all have an effect on us, but we too have an effect. Because the bullseye of our very lives is the friend of friends, Jesus himself. And he has called you to be a light. Which begs the question, are there relationships in your life where you can be God's light? Because we need those relationships too. I think sometimes we can get so focused on surrounding ourselves with God's people that we miss the fact that God may desire for us to have connected, maybe even committed relationships to people who don't know him, so that we could be part of shaping them just as much as they may be part of shaping us. You know, there's this fascinating story. I'm a very big Malcolm Gladwell fan. Some of you may know this. And he wrote this book, Outliers, many years ago. And he writes about a small town that had baffled researchers in the 19th century. And the town was called Rosetto. It's in rural Pennsylvania, and it was made up of Italian immigrants who moved there in the late 1800s. And what made Rosetto a fascinating town wasn't its industry or its wealth, but it was its health. For decades, the people of Rosetto had staggeringly low rates of heart disease, and researchers were left wondering, what was their secret? At first, they thought it was their diet. But the people of Rosetto ate a high-fat, high-carb Mediterranean diet and cooked a lot with lard. So they ruled that out. Maybe it was genetics. But then they started studying Rosettans that moved elsewhere, and they noticed that their health advantages started to disappear. Then they thought it must be their lifestyle, their exercise. And nope, most of them smoked and drank and work grueling blue-collar jobs. And after years of study, they finally uncovered the answer. And can you guess it? Relationships. Rosetta was a town where the neighbors regularly dropped by unannounced, where intergenerational families lived together and shared meals with one another, where every single person was never left to face hardship alone. The fullness of their circles saved them. Circles full of connected, committed, and core relationships resulted in them living longer, to the utter surprise of 19th century researchers. And while this is a pretty profound discovery, how many know Jesus offers us something even fuller than even those Rosettans experienced? Eternal belonging, unmerited love, purpose to be light in this world. And so as we think about our relationships, the relationships that surround us, do you have some that are moving you toward life? And do you have some where you can help others experience life, the life that comes from knowing Jesus? Because when we walk with Jesus, we aren't just shaped by relationships. We're shaped for them too. We become light. When we walk with Jesus, we become light to the people around us, people who are just like you and I, searching, yearning, wanting life and life in all its fullness. And so maybe to make a next step distinctly practical as we close, I really want to try to give you some resources as you evaluate and consider the relational circles that are surrounding you. And so if you have your phones, this is where you're going to have permission to take them out, and you can text the word SHAPE to this kind of our church number, 952-522-3400. I know you guys know how to do this because almost 900 of you have texted the word TALK to this same number to get a conversation starter every week. But if you text this number on the screen, you're going to get a text back, and it outlines four what I think are the most likely next steps coming out of a message like this. And if you don't get a chance to text, that's okay. You can access this on our website. But here's the text back you're going to get. What's the next step you want to take in your relationship? Okay, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because maybe you're thinking, I'd love to start a relationship with someone who could really help me be in love like Jesus. That can be someone who's like-valued and like-hearted to move my life toward life and life everlasting. Or maybe you're realizing that you have some relationships that are sitting at the connected part, maybe even the casual part of your life, and you're saying, boy, I would love that person to be more committed or core to me. You want to grow some relationships. Or maybe you're admitting that there are some relationships that are having an effect on you, a shaping effect on you, that you're really not that excited about. And you want to consider drawing some boundaries so you can still stay in relationship with some. Or maybe you're sensing that God's inviting you to partner with him, to shape the story of another person, to be light to someone who's searching for life and life in all its fullness. In fact, you might be drawn to all these invitations, but for the sake of some progress, can I invite you to choose one? Then you just text back that number, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And then in about 15 minutes, I decided not to send it to you right away, so you still pay attention to me for this last minute here. In about 15 minutes, maybe when you're driving home, you're going to get a text back, and it's just going to give you a guide relative to that specific choice that says, here's a prayer, and here's a couple next steps that you can consider to start a new relationship, to grow a current one, to set some boundaries, or to shape the relationships that are around you for God. Because remember, relationships don't just surround us. They shape us. They really do. And as we walk through this life, God is surrounding us too. And so may his presence give you hope as you take whatever next step he may put on your heart with the circles of relationship that are around you, as you become his light to those around you too. And so as we close, I invite you to open your hands with me here across all of our campuses and receive this blessing as you steward well what God's entrusted to you, relationships that surround you. God, first we say thank you for surrounding us with your very presence. And as we consider the circles of relationship that are around us, those that are core and committed and connected and casual, that you would help us realize that, one, they're shaping us, but two, that you're helping us to be shapers too, to be your light wherever we go. When we walk with you, we become like you, light to a world that needs it. So give us your eyes, Lord, to see where our next step is, and give us the grace to walk into it for your glory and for your honor. We pray that now in the name above every name, the friend of friends, Jesus. Amen.